that sound is, that means it's time for another great edition of Talking Ticks. I'm Scott Gerard. Joining me, as always, tonight, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. We're spread out again, folks. We got Tommy in Louisiana. I'm covering the Southeast East in Georgia. We got Daniel doing a little recon work up in West Virginia for us right now. Hope all you guys are doing great. Remember to call your moms yesterday and thank them for all the wonderful work they've done. I did. And yeah, ready to talk about some LSU sports with you guys. Baseball did, well, they didn't do as good as they should have. It was definitely within their grasp, but just couldn't hold on for game one. And just, I don't know what happened in game three, but definitely puts a dimmer on our postseason hopes, but still looking forward to talking about it with you guys. How are y'all doing?
Good to be with you. Good to be talking about LSU, even though with the disappointing weekend.
Is it?
But yeah, glad to be here talking about it with y'all.
Yes, hello there. As Scott mentioned, I'm in West Virginia, White Sulphur Springs at the Greenbrier Resort. Kind of a weird location for a podcast, but yeah, out here in the mountains. This is actually where, I don't know if y'all remember, a couple of years ago, the New Orleans Saints did like a training camp here at the Greenbrier.
I remember
and they did?
Yeah, they have like, yeah, they have this like big performance center where a number of NFL teams have come to have kind of mini camps. Like the Saints, I think they did it with the Patriots. It was like together. Yeah, they had this, I didn't go to the performance center, it's down the road, but so that's pretty cool. But yeah, the place is nice. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch Saturday or Sunday baseball. I guess maybe fortunately on Sunday, but yeah, Friday was a mess and kind of puts the end to a disappointing season, but we can break that down for y'all here.
Yeah. And I wish I could say that Daniel was scouring the area, you know, kind of like LSU should be for the next defensive tackle since we're still in search. But I mean, we had a couple of visitors from that, but baseball is definitely top of the list. Tigers, what can you say? It's definitely not the same team from last year. I mean, they won they had to come from behind to beat Northwestern State. I guess we should start there. I mean, they came back to 1-6-5 in what the last couple innings. Jared Jones
probably should have lost that
home
game.
Run. But I mean, LSU had the win on Friday. They had a really good lead. What, they were up 7-3, I think, at one point, and then it just all went away. Alabama came back. I don't know if LSU got complacent, thinking, all right, we have this one in the bag, or the timing of the pitching change and whatever else happened. Tigers fall game one, 7-8. Came back to win games 2-6-3. That was a very solid game. Luke Holman looked great. Got his seventh win through 5.2 innings against his old team, no less. Reached 100 strikeouts for the year. And then Sunday, I mean, it was okay. We just didn't really have any offense. I mean, it was Johnny Hallstaff day, but the guys that did pitch, I think they did fine. We just didn't have any offense to kind of take it over. Obviously, the sweet spot for LSU is 6 runs or more, and you know our chances of winning are good. But other than that, man, we just don't have the pitching to win any close games with runs less than that. I don't think that's going to change. We haven't really seen anything that would show us any different. And we got one more series this weekend against Ole Miss and then the SEC tournament. I don't know. The only thing I can think of is these Tigers, they know they can't overcome enough to get a better seeding. So we're holding off right at the 12 seed so we don't have to play at 9:30 in the morning as the 11th seed. That's the only thing I can figure about how it works right now. But I digress. Tommy, tell me what you think.
I think your guess is as good as mine. I would say it feels like we had a little bit of that dead cat bounce with the A&M series. You know, really having a good showing, but you know, it's more of the same. We reverted back to the way we played most of the season, which has been not great. Pitching needs work. Offense is inconsistent at best. And error, I mean, you know, getting killed on errors, getting killed on kind of stupid stuff. So, the fact is, the short answer is that we just don't have a we don't have an elite team. We don't have a very good team. And pretty much all around. There are obviously bright spots. I mean, Tommy Tanks has been great this entire season. I think he's improved upon, especially in the field, he's improved his defensively. I mean, I think that to be honest, Milazzo has had a better, you know, has consistently year over year watching him progress from, like, you know, his first season playing with LSU to now. It's pretty impressive. You know, he's had a decent season for where he came from. But altogether, same thing with Travinsky. Altogether, though, we just haven't really had, we don't really have really elite players, which is disappointing. It reminds me so much of the 2019 football season where you come back next year and you're like, oh man, we're gonna start building something. Like, this is gonna be this program is gonna be have some longevity, and it just really doesn't feel like it. Obviously, we went through a coaching change after 2019 baseball. I mean, football. I don't think that's going to happen, at least not yet, in baseball. But it's not. I mean, it's not good for Jay Johnson's squad right now. Just, I mean, it doesn't feel like, you know, those teams we used to have with Maneri, where you would kind of, like, we would lose games that we probably shouldn't have, but we were always kind of hanging around. We're always kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. Kind of, it doesn't feel, it feels like with this team, it's been like all or nothing. Like, either we're gonna get last year's team, or don't even worry about it.
Right. I think it's a bit of the antithesis of last year's team, where last year LSU was able to find a way to win almost every game. This year, we consistently have been able to find a way to lose games.
Yep.
Like, that we probably should have won. And like you mentioned, Scott, is dumb stuff. Like, in the Friday game that we were, it was 5-3 LSU going into the eighth. Then we score two more to make it 7-3. And after the top of the eighth, you think you pretty much got it locked up. Christian Little's throwing well, but then he comes in and he starts walking guys, and the carousel spins. Griffin Herring comes in, like, walks a couple more, and then they end up plating three. It's like, okay, we still have a one run lead. Let's just hold it one more inning. And then it starts all over again, where there's literally three straight walks, and then, or I think two walks and a hit batter. And Jay Johnson continues to let Griffin Herring work instead of pulling in another guy to try and get just one out. And then at the very end, it's a swinging bunt by Alabama that goes right in front of Milazzo. And he's got basically two options. He can either pivot 180 degrees and try and step out the runner at home, which he didn't do, or just throw it to first and get the out. And then he overthrows Jared Jones by about 3 feet, and then it's game over. So that's not what you need from your fifth year senior in a clutch moment like that. And it's basically the opposite play of, like, Trey Morgan making the diving, like, pitch to home in the College World Series, where it's like, that's what went right for us last year. And these are the type of things that go wrong for us this year. And it's a combination, I think, players and a little bit of coaching too, because players, yeah, we had so much more talent than last year, but it seems like the team has never really meshed this year, top to bottom. Players have been very swingy, hot and cold, both batting and pitching. And then, like Tommy said, we've only had a few pretty consistent points of output, which in pitching is Gage Jump and Luke Holman, and even they've had their own struggles. And then on offense, Tommy White, Jared Jones, and then a couple others. So it's sad that things are going this way. The season isn't completely wrapped. I mean, we could conceivably make it to the tournament if we sweep Ole Miss at home next week and get a favorable ruling from the selection committee, but we haven't swept a single team all year, and I don't really envision it happening the last weekend of the schedule.
At least it's at home, so feels like it's a chance. I don't know. It depends what they do in this. I mean, we have a midweek game this week, right? I mean,
no, I don't think we do.
We don't?
No, okay. There isn't a midweek.
Okay,
so maybe that plays to our advantage.
Exactly. Not that we really – I mean, it's a good tune-up, but if you have to come from behind to beat Northwestern – I mean, give them credit. Northwestern State was not scared, like a lot of these in-state teams are nowadays. They know we can be beat, so they come in thinking they can. Yeah,
there's no reason to be scared.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it is the pitching, like you mentioned, Daniel, but I think it's also, just, again, the situational hitting. I don't remember if it was game, I think it was yesterday, game three, right? or game two, LSU had runners on first and second, no out there, and there's a wild pitch. They moved over to second and third, no outs, and we come away with a run run. I mean, it's just not capitalizing on opportunities. I guess that's what the team from last year had, but that's also because we had some seniority in spots. Like Cade Beloso, bless his heart, he's, you know, he's not going to be tearing it up in the pros, but the guy could hit, and he could hit when we needed it. Same with a lot of other guys. You know, Paxton Kling, who we thought was going to, I don't know, I guess do more. I mean, he's fast. He's pretty good in the outfield. He just hasn't been hitting great. So just a lot of changes. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, it's good for next year and beyond. We've had a lot of freshmen playing too. And they've obviously shown some talent in certain situations, but you know, they're still learning. It's playing in the SEC. We've faced probably what, five or more top 10 teams already this season. So, or at least, you know, at some point they're ranked in the top 10. So, I mean, it's a lot. We just don't have the pitching we used to. So I see this as a rebuilding year completely. Can we make the postseason? Yeah, it's still possible. Depends what we do next weekend and in the SEC tournament. I mean, but we'd be getting in like on the skin of our teeth, right? Like the hair of our chinny chin chin. Otherwise, we will be just like the last two national championships out of the SEC and just win it, and then you just disappear. I do think the difference with LSU is we could come back the year after or the year after that, because Ole Miss has kind of gone back to where they were before they won the title. Mississippi State, I don't know, I guess kind of the same too, right? It's like they're good, but they're not national championship good. So I think that's what LSU aspires to be, and it definitely remains to be seen. I don't think Jay Johnson's on the hot seat 1 year after winning a title, but two more years of this and Scott's going to have a little talk.
Yeah, I do think you'll have to probably dig in the portal pretty hard for prospects going into next year, because once the senior production leaves, I mean, we're going to be losing Tommy White, Luke Holman, Michael Braswell, possibly Jerry Jones, possibly he's going to be a draft eligible sophomore, Hayden Travinsky, Mac Bingham. These are all guys who might be departing. And so there's a lot of spots to fill. So he'll have to be very aggressive there and say, come on down to Baton Rouge. We've got some of the best facilities and the best fans in the country. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure that come along with that. But if you believe in us, then we can make you great. And I think that's going to be his main pitch to these prospects, wherever they may be coming from. And I just hope that they're able to buy in and mesh and produce quickly, which is, we've kind of had been a little hit or miss on that. Some of them, like Skeens and Tommy White, have been great for us. And then others like Christian Little and maybe Mac Bingham, even Jacob Berry a couple of years ago, have been more kind of project type players that haven't made his, or I guess you can point to Thatcher Hurd, like
Thatcher Hurd is last year. The total project.
And he's basically last entirely on the rotation chart at this point, which is kind of sad to see. So we definitely need more hits than misses there.
Well, and I mean, I think let's not forget that LSU has the number one recruiting class in the 2024 like cycle. So we should have a lot of talent coming in next year. There's going to be some that probably go on to the draft and forego college, but
that's true. But I don't know if you can expect true freshmen to produce as much in baseball, maybe, as you can like in basketball or even in football in some situations, just getting used to the speed. But
4 years ago, Cruz and Trey Morgan and who's the other guy who was playing as a true freshman? Well, anyways, I mean, yeah, I mean,
Jordan Thompson played as a true freshman.
Thompson, yeah. So, I mean, I'm not, it's not ideal, but I think that there's, you know, yes, and I agree with you. I think he'll go to the portal again. I just hope that, and this is me maybe being a little pessimistic, I hope that our performance this season doesn't impact his ability to pull from the portal.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You could always make the case, well, we didn't achieve as much because we, you know, like this year, we didn't find a Tommy White or Paul Skeens type of guy. I mean, they're probably out there. They just went somewhere else. So, yeah, we obviously need him. Won a title and then just completely dropped off. So definitely need them. And it just goes to show you, like you mentioned Cruz and Morgan. I mean, think of how good those guys were last year. And
oh, yeah.
How much you could say, well, obviously we couldn't have won without Cruz, but yeah, you could make the same case. If Trey Morgan wasn't there at first, yeah, maybe we make the College World Series, but I don't know if we win because guy did a lot with his bat and his glove. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got a highlight reel for the ages. Both of them are still, well, I mean, it's baseball, but both of them are still in the minors, like working their way up. Baseball is just a completely different animal when it comes to talent and how it's used or placed. So I don't know, to think it, there's that much difference from college baseball to the pros where the best pitcher and the best overall player, you know, can't even make the squad on day one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just baseball's different.
Although, you know, there is one guy who did get called up though.
Who's that?
That would be Paul Skeens. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
And how did he do? Well, how do y'all think he did?
I think he did fine. Four innings pitched, seven Ks. Impressive to me. I mean, I know he gave up three earned runs, but I mean, I was happy with the performance. I know Daniel, I think you might disagree on that one, but
I think you would give it probably a B on the report card scale. He flashed what everybody is so excited about him with 17 pitches of 100 miles an hour or more, and definitely the wipeout fastball plus slider combo that he showcased at LSU, getting seven strikeouts, which is even not that many for his standards. But he did have a few hits given up, I think three hits and one walk and one hit batter, and I think four and a third innings of work, which, I mean, for a rookie debut, that's not terrible at all. Like, people come in and get rocked in the majors.
Oh yeah.
And plus I think there was like a multi-hour rain delay during the game, so that could have affected the mojo a little bit as well. But he definitely showed why he was the number one overall pick, and the Pirates are definitely excited with what they saw, and we'll have that going forward. So and like you said, Scott, development in baseball is not usually a rapid system, so for him to be in the majors even halfway through, they're not even halfway through, but early on in season one is great for his progress, and I hope he continues that and keeps up the good work.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, the fans were definitely thrilled. I think they knew who he was and what was going on. They were cheering every strikeout, gave him a standing ovation when he left in the fourth, so happy for him. But yeah, just, I mean, that's obviously once in a generational type of guy, but he wasn't even ours. You know, I feel like we got him on a loaner from Air Force just for last season. What LSU needs, which we, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know. I feel like it's been a while since we've had, what was it? Well, the last good 1-2 punch I think we had was maybe Alex Lang, Jared Poche, right?
In, yeah, well, like, I mean, last year with Skeens and Ty Floyd was pretty good. It was kind of every man for the other day. But, yeah, it's been a while since we had 1-2-3, like, mow them down starters, which is very rare.
Who were our pitchers in 17? I feel like we had pitchers.
Right. I don't know. I'm just thinking it's like – but, like, guys like Alex Lang or Aaron Nola, you know, going back to – I don't know. LSU's had very good pitchers, quiet. Skeens was a different guy, but like guys that were there for a few years and developed so that you knew that was your Friday night starter. You know, we've kind of jumped around, you know, Skeens aside. But yeah, that's what Jay Johnson needs. He needs to find that just like pure arm talent that can, I guess, not get lured away to the MLB right away and just stay for 3 or so years. That would be, I think, what the team needs, well, his program needs. But, yeah, got Ole Miss to look at. We'll see what happens. I think LSU can win at least 2. A sweep would be great. I think they need it. I mean, we talk down on it, but, I mean, they're still 33-20 overall, which – I don't know what the committee looks at. Obviously, it's not as good as last year, But we still have won, what, 3 out of the last 4 SEC series, 11-16 overall in that stretch. It's just that 10-17 conference record that's just going to kill us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of beat up on the non-conference cupcakes that just slipped away.
We had so many, like, we could probably look back at 4 or 5 of those and say LSU had this game. So who knows? And like the top team in the division, Kentucky, like, I don't know. It's not, in my mind, it's not that big, but still 4 or 5 wins would make a big difference this year. Anywho. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're playing for pride mostly. I mean, there's still something to fight for. So hopefully, Jay Johnson can get them fired up and get a sweep, maybe a little bit wishful thinking, but it's always good to beat Ole Miss in anything. So good luck in the box one more time. Hopefully the fans will show up, and then it's on to Hoover pretty rapidly. I think the tournament starts the Tuesday after on the 21st. So, and we'll probably be playing day one. So LSU's got to be ready to rock.
Oh, you know, we will. Cause we're like literally right on the cusp of just barely making the tournament. But yeah, speaking of getting called up, I don't know if I mentioned earlier, but yeah, Skeens wasn't the only one. Trey Morgan and Todd Peterson. Remember that guy, the pitcher that came in and hit like a pinch hit home run?
Oh yeah,
one game, and he lied to Coach Maneri saying, yeah. "Oh yeah, I used to hit."
That was an iconic moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But anyway, those guys both got, I guess, promotions within their respective organizations. So congrats to them. And I think it's also somewhat related and worth mentioning, LSU softball. Well, they took out top-rated Tennessee in the SEC softball tournament, and the Tigers, well, they didn't win, but they will now be a 9 seed in the Women's College World Series. And other than that, I'd say there is probably a couple other things worth mentioning. Unless you guys wanted to do a deep dive on softball, I wasn't ready for that today.
I don't really know that much about the team.
Okay, we'll
say they always seem to be kind of. Yeah, they always seem to be kind of in that like good but not elite level. Where I think like Oklahoma has been like the softball juggernaut the past few years, and LSU is always like in the like 10-15 range. And but yeah, I mean that was kind of what we said about gymnastics, and then they went on a run to win the national championship. So good luck to them, considering that baseball may not be well represented in the postseason.
Right. And speaking of women representing, the women's track and field team was crowned the conference champs for outdoor this past weekend, which was great. I mean, no one else was even close. Unfortunately for the men, they weren't even close to placing in the top 3 in their respective division. But congrats to the Lady Tigers. That actually makes the 26th for them. Conference championship, 53rd overall for the, you know, track and field men's and women's. But yeah, on to nationals for them. Wouldn't it be something if they somehow came home with a national championship? That would be 3 straight years of a women's team bringing home a national championship. I mean, talk about just all around, like, program, not just one sport, you know, obviously not a one trick pony, but for women's sports, I mean, true women's sports, LSU's represent well.
Yeah. It is pretty cool.
Fill out a trophy case.
Exactly. What else? Is there anything else that we... Oh, I mean, I know we had some... we're still got some recruiting stuff going on. I think LSU has a guy there, a good defensive tackle prospect from Grand Valley State. But other than that, it's pretty quiet.
Right. Yeah, not too much on the NFL. They started the rookie mini camps, so Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas are getting the first taste of pro ball. The big story this week was Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers supposedly putting down a $10,000 bet between them on who would win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then when the NFL got wind of this, they were not overly pleased, and so I don't know if it was like when the guys in suits show up to your door and give you a stern talking to, but they said that somebody from the compliance office or whatever informed them of the NFL's gambling policy that you aren't really supposed to say you're betting on yourself or anybody else in the game. So they they supposedly called the bet off pretty quick. I can't say if they got anything still a little bit under the table, but probably not. Better safe than sorry there, but that was kind of funny. Maybe they need to call a guy in Ohio to place a bet for them.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people on Twitter being like, oh yeah, Malik Nabers had one practice with Daniel Jones and was like, yeah, I can't do this.
That's funny. I mean, it's obviously $10,000 is nothing. I think Malik was saying he was going to buy his mom a house for Mother's Day. I mean, that's, you're going to blow money. I guess that's what you should do with it. But yeah, it's just a friendly wager. But yeah, I mean, you can't bet on yourself. I mean, but it's like, so they could both win. Who would, like, you're trying to top each other. It's not like you were, oh yeah, I can, who can make the most money off of betting on each other? But anyway,
at least it's not like that guy in the NBA. Was it Jonte Porter who was betting on himself, like on the under on his like points and rebounds and stuff, and then was like faking injuries to sit on the bench and have the under cash, and then now he's banned for life from the NBA?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? I mean, isn't like the average salary like $1 million anyway? $1 million a year? How much could you really make nickel and diamond like that? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, ask Shuhei. What's he up to?
Oh, that wasn't him. That was his interpreter. Didn't you know?
Yeah, really.
Although the NBA one does feel like it's something fairly easy to sniff out, too. It's kind of like when they were trying to put the bets on, was it Alabama against LSU in college baseball, where it's like not that many people are betting on this. Like, he's a bench player for the Toronto Raptors, and he's betting under rebounds, like 2.5. I think the casino might be a little bit suspicious if you walk in and say, I'm going to bet $100,000 on this random guy under rebounds, and then that's the only bet they ever take. They must know something's going on here. So maybe not the smartest method. But I hope Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers both perform well and are both in that rookie of the year conversation and get all their performance bonuses and whatnot, and make the $10,000 look like small change.
Yep, exactly. I agree.
I don't know. I think that was about it.
I think so. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
Not too much. Good luck in the, is it the Preakness, of any horse racing fans out there? If you're Mystic Dan, had a big Kentucky Derby win a couple of weeks ago, and probably the most exciting Kentucky Derby in a long, long time. I don't know if any of y'all watched that.
Yeah.
Didn't photo discuss, finish. But,
Mystic you, Daniel.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like once now the Kentucky Derby's gone. Yeah. I mean, if there was like a triple crown on the line, I'm sure there'd be a lot more eyes on it. And I think there was like a lot of controversy. I don't know if there was any controversy about the Derby, but like the next day there was like a photo finish in NASCAR. It was controversial. So I don't know. I just know, can't they just put like a chip in the car or something? You can't do it with a horse, but enough with these photo finishes. Cause it's still putting it up to the human eye. Kind of like a replay. You're like, yeah, it looks good. We're going to overturn this one.
I figured they used like the laser stuff like they do in tennis, right?
They did. Hockey. But yeah, the laser line is different than the actual painted line. So don't look at the painted line. Just watch the lasers. Yeah, it's bizarre. Anyway, sports. Gotta love it. Uh-huh. But I think, was that?
Oh, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I will say, LSU baseball recruits had a good weekend this past weekend. Numerous LSU recruits commits to baseball, won state championships, including Josh Peterson's brother John, who played for West Monroe, won a state championship. Top pitcher in the state, William Schmidt, who's an LSU commit, who might end up not even signing with LSU, might go on to the draft, but way, at this moment right now, he's committed to LSU or signed to LSU, and he won a state championship, was the MVP of the 5A private school championship, and Jack Rucker, a 2025 commit who plays middle infield. So congrats to all of them.
Indeed. The defensive tackle I was talking about earlier from Grand Valley, that was JVR Suggs, big guy. I don't know. It sounds like he could lean to LSU. I think he's wrapping up his visit tomorrow. He's going to decide very soon. I guess we'll keep an eye on that. Otherwise, football's been very quiet. I mean, Brian Kelly hasn't. He's says we're not paying guys to come out of the portal. So obviously, whoever's coming on a visit to LSU knows what's up. Doesn't mean you can't make some money, but
we're not buying players.
Right, exactly.
We're probably not paying that much if our top prospect is coming out of Grand Valley State.
No, but hey, diamond in the rough. That's all we need. Somebody that can produce. Either way, we'll follow that. Well, any other news that comes out, we'll have it for you next week right here on Talking Tigs, because that'll do it for us today. Tune in next week. We will have the wrap-up for LSU's regular season on baseball, the series against Ole Miss, and anything else that comes down the pike, or the chute, I should say. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time on Talking Tigs.